from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yo, yeah. I mean, I remember the AB trade, and I remember thinking, man, they should have gotten a lot more for Antonio Brown. You got a couple of mid-round picks. Now, the Steelers end up looking like the winners in that trade because AB never played a meaningful snap for the Raiders. But yeah, like the time it happened, I almost wondered if that was the Raiders' whole concern. Like, hey guys, we don't know if this dude will ever even wear our uniform in a real game, so this is the best offer we got. And unfortunately, at that time, it did not seem like there was that many teams that truly wanted Antonio Brown. But the thought there, which I can get along with, we may be surprised by what this return for San Francisco looks like. And when I say that, I mean we may be surprised at how little it looks like when it initially happens. Because, again, people always, well, it's going to be a first-round pick, first-round pick, first-round pick. Yeah, I mean, the Bears said the same thing about Justin Fields, for crying out loud. They said it would take a first-round pick to acquire him. The Steelers got him on a Saturday night for chump change by the time that one hit the point. 412-928-9370. Glenn in Ohio. What's up, Glenn?
What's going on, Donnie? Football, you're my favorite. Appreciate taking my call.
Thank you.
I was thinking, you know, Omar Khan gets all this praise all the time, but if we still had Deontay Johnson right now, this could have been a done deal. And it seems like a win-win if we can sign him. We need a receiver, and we don't want Cleveland to get him. So I think the pressure's on.
Yeah, brother, I absolutely agree with that. And Deontay Johnson, I don't know if he is playing tonight. He's taking the field, at least, with Carolina. They're taking on the Patriots here in a few minutes. I think the Giants and the Lions are the only other preseason game tonight. But I do like the thought there of, hey, if we didn't get rid of Deontay Johnson so quickly, Brandon Ayuk is probably already on this roster. And I was not a huge fan of Deontay Johnson. I thought he was a solid player. I thought he was a pretty good player that normally ran into more tough luck than anything. Did he do boneheaded things that made people want to pull their hair out? Absolutely. Did I, you know, care for him man to man? I mean, not necessarily. He probably still has me blocked on Twitter, which is all well and good. I don't really mind. When that trade happened, I was not happy about it. I thought that was a bad trade on the end of Omar Khan, a guy that we do universally praise. And he has done a lot of good things that make the future look like a good place for the Steelers organization. But he makes that trade, all he gets is a swap of late round picks, and he gets a corner that I already see people overhyping in camp. but he gets a cornerback in return that probably would have gotten cut and they could have just signed as a free agent anyway. You gave away a legitimate second wide receiver to do that. And I think we all just sat back and said, don't worry, let Omar cook. Don't worry, he'll get somebody. And yeah, there was thought in my mind of, okay, they must have some sort of plan here if they are willing to part ways with Deontay Johnson so easily. Whatever plans they had did not work out. Whether that be Tyler Boyd, whether that be acquire Brandon Ayuk earlier in the offseason, whatever it may have been, they failed on all of those steps. So yes, they could have just been in a very fine situation if they would have held on to Johnson this entire time. 412-928-9370. If you want to join in on the fun. Nick Faribault, one of the best young Steelers scribes out there from PennLive.com. He will join us in the next couple of minutes. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. The Chevy Summer Drive continues, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Chance of rain overnight, low of 73 degrees. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Donnie Football with you until 10:35 tonight. Good discussion with the people out there in that first hour about Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that will continue to be the hot topic surrounding the Steelers until this thing finally gets settled. Whether he does get traded here, whether he stays in San Francisco, whether he goes somewhere else, it's going to be one of the biggest stories in the NFL and certainly one of the bigger stories around here. We have preseason football going on tonight. Carolina and New England on NFL Network already got it on. One of the big TVs in here. The other game, I don't think it's available anywhere, Joel. The Giants and the Lions are the other game going on tonight. Steelers and Texans, the preseason opener for Pittsburgh tomorrow at 7. The Texans, if you recall, played in the storm-shortened Hall of Fame game last week. So we get the first look at some new Steelers. We will get into the depth chart a little bit later on. We will also take a look at who else shouldn't play out of the guys who are already not playing and also some of the guys we are excited about to see in action tomorrow night. But right now, we go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find one of the best young Steelers reporters in the game right now, Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Nick, before we get to Sharkies and Dinos and all of the Icy Light mangoes you're enjoying, which, listen, brother, I love that because, you know, I've been on the Icy Light mango train for a while. What is the latest that you are hearing about the Brandon Ayuk saga?
Everything you know, I know. That's what I'm going to say. Basically, everything that's out there, it's a standstill right now, Donnie. I mean, it really is. The Steelers fairly clearly are Brandon Ayuk's preferred landing spot. They have leverage in that regard. Ayuk has leverage in that regard. The 49ers don't want to just sink a cost on an elite wide receiver. So they are shopping around, looking to see who is out there, if there's another wide receiver out there. The Steelers really aren't budging on their ask. You've heard this many times over the past 2 days. So that's where it is right now. In terms of timetable, Donnie, I don't have one. I think this could happen tonight. I think this could happen in 2 weeks. Like, it could be that long. This thing is going to drag out as long as these two sides want it. And we're kind of at a standstill right now. And no new developments.
Yeah, basically the way that I described it was that this is like a tug of war on both sides. And you have the reporters of the 49ers. You have you along with the Steelers reporters out there. They're both tugging away on their sides of things. And now the development of, hey, it's going to likely take a third team to get this thing done. Who do you think that third team could be?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Raiders are obviously the one that everybody's talking about with Devontae Adams. But I think that's an interesting one. I've heard talk about Courtland Sutton. I have not heard Courtland Sutton being available at all. And I know that because the Steelers have called many times about Courtland Sutton throughout the offseason and have been rejected. He just reworked his contract. I don't expect it to be there. This is the thing, Donnie. Before Ayuk and this thing heated up a few days ago, the Steelers were where the 49ers were, which was vetting wide receivers, the market, trying to find somebody. In August, near the end of training camps, you just don't find really good wide receivers out on the market. If this had been in March, when things were back then, it would have been easy. They would have just flipped the second for Stephon Diggs, and that would have been that. But now, no one's really truly out there, so I don't know. The 49ers are going to call just about everybody trying to figure this out. Adams is going to be one that they're going to pursue. I'm just not sure that's going to happen. I'm not sure the Raiders really have any intentions of trading Davante Adams. They're going to have to really entice the Raiders to do that one. It's a really, really tough spot to be in if you're the Steelers and the 49ers, because the Steelers aren't going to come up to the 49ers' ask. They just don't have any reason to, Donnie. I mean, they have all of the leverage right now. Ayuk wants to go there. No other suitor is currently in that market. The Browns and the Patriots essentially are out just because Ayuk doesn't want to go there. So, I mean, it's really going to take either the 49ers have to cave to what the Steelers want, or someone that isn't available right now becomes available, which is why I say this could take a while. I think it happens before week one, but this could be a little bit until this gets resolved. They got to find the right guy.
Do you think there is any regret in that front office that they parted ways with Diontae Johnson so quickly?
I'm sure that would be the easiest solution, right? You would just trade Diontae and maybe a second, and that would be that. So I'm sure there is, but they also really like Dante Jackson. So they're not going to regret it a ton, but obviously looking back on it, had you kept Diontae Johnson, this deal probably would have already been done by now if Diontae Johnson was around.
Nick, just your gut feeling, where does Brandon Ayuk end up this season?
I think he ends up in Pittsburgh. I just think it's when it happens. I don't even really think it's an if anymore, Donnie. I think it's when. I really do think he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I just don't know when it's going to happen because, again, they're the standoff right now. It's going to be the cost. The 49ers want a player that is going to help them win the Super Bowl this year. Are they going to get that from the Steelers? Probably not. Their ask is George Pickens. The Steelers are not giving up George Pickens. It's just not going to happen. So it is really going to come down to where they can find a guy. I think it could be closer to cut down date where maybe, you know, a guy in one spot shows out, proves that he can be a guy, and then maybe a vet comes available from another team. So we'll kind of see where this goes, but I think he will be a Pittsburgh Steeler this year.
Nick, was there any thought now? I mean, this was just me kind of scribbling, connecting some dots the other day when we were discussing this on the show in the afternoon, but I think it's a little bit strange that Pat Freiermuth has not signed an extension. That was something that we all kind of thought would happen maybe before they ever took the practice field. His agent was at St. Vincent last week. It didn't happen then either. Was there any thought of, well, we can't give them any other receiver that isn't George Pickens, but hey, we do have a pretty good tight end that you can pair with George Kittle? Do you think there was any sort of discussion like that?
No, I don't. I think the 49ers brought it up, but I don't think the Steelers seriously considered it. Actually, I think the big reason why Pat Freiermuth hasn't signed his extension is because if Ayuk gets his extension, they are trying to kind of budget for that, if you will. So I think that's also just as much of a plausible reason. I do expect the Pat Freiermuth extension. If this Ayuk stuff happens tomorrow, I think Pat Freiermuth might sign on Monday. Like, that's legitimately what could happen if this happens, but I don't think they gave any serious thought to trading Pat Freiermuth. I think if there was one player that I could see being moved, it's been talked about often. I think James Daniels probably makes the most sense if a player is going back in that deal, a major player. You know, we're not talking about maybe the Steelers give up a nice package of picks and then throw in, you know, like Calvin Austin. I think James Daniels would be the one major player that they could give up that would go the other way. But I don't think Pat Freiermuth was ever really seriously considered from the Steelers.
Let's look at the depth chart, the first one that was sent out. I know that we've heard from Mike Tomlin in the past, and you know, we will hear from Mike Tomlin later on. We'll play back what he said to Steelers media yesterday. he says that we all look way too much into the depth charts that get put out there. The Dan Moore thing sticks out to me immediately, as it does with a lot of people. I'm assuming, and I want to assume and I want to believe this to be the case, Nick, is this just one of those, we're going to make the rookies earn their stripes in the preseason games before we put them in the starting lineup?
I generally think so. Listen, Troy Faltanu took just about every right tackle first team rep on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. They are ramping up to Troy Faltanu being the starting right tackle. If you are putting your rookie first rounder this early in the process in that spot, I think you're starting to signal that. Because last year, Broderick Jones never got those first team reps like this. Joey Porter Jr. never got those first team reps like this. So they are budgeting just to get Troy Faltanu in the first team reps. And Broderick Jones is playing more left tackle than he has. He's playing left tackle in the game tomorrow. I think he'll play both right and left. I don't really get that, to be quite honest with you, Donnie. I don't know why you took the most raw of the tackles and put him in both spots instead of focusing in one spot and trying to improve his technique. I think that's playing a dangerous game. But I do expect this week one starters to be Broderick Jones at left tackle and Troy Faltanu at right tackle. That's not on sources either, Donnie. It's just my eyes. I just see Troy Faltanu as a polished player that doesn't need to sit. He's ready to play. I've seen him go toe-to-toe with T.J. Watt 4 or 5 days now and hold his own. I think he's ready to play week one. I'm really excited to see him out there tomorrow. I think he will play very well and open the eyes of Steelers fans when they see him out on the field under the lights for the first time.
Yeah, I saw you put the tweet out there. I think it was after the night practice, Nick, when you were praising how Troy Faltanu had looked so far. So, I mean, that was just my thought there, that he is getting the, well, you're a rookie, we're gonna ease you in, we're not gonna immediately put you on the team one depth chart. But somebody else that has appeared on there, an undrafted guy of all people, Beanie Bishop, is about to make some history here, Nick. I have no idea, and I've said it for the last couple of weeks, I do not know the last time that the Steelers started an undrafted free agent on their defense. They used to never even start rookies in general, let alone a guy that wasn't drafted.
I can't remember the last time a rookie, undrafted rookie that is, came into week one of training camp just as the starter. Beanie Bishop has been the starting slot the entirety of training camp. We don't see that very often, Donnie, and there's a reason why. But the last guy I think you can compare to him in terms of guys that have risen up this fast, Mike Hilton did it when he won that slot job. He wasn't a UDFA right out of college, but he was a futures deal, signed off the street kind of guy. So very similar to what Beanie Bishop is right now. But he's going to make history with this. I think he will win the starting slot job. He is a fighter. He's got great ball skills. He takes his lumps out there. You know, he's going against George Pickens and winning 2 out of 3 reps in one-on-ones. I mean, that's an impressive showing. Whether you like it or not, you know, looking at a UDFA starting, that is tenuous. But when he's playing like how Beanie Bishop is, and Beanie Bishop had a great spring, he's having a good summer, I think it can be tenable because he is proving that he deserves that spot. He's proving that he should have been drafted, that's for sure. I don't really know why he went undrafted in this class, to be quite honest with you, Donnie. And so I think he will be fine. I'm excited to see him particular tomorrow because D'Amico Ryan said that they're going to play 2 series with the starters. I want to see him against Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins. That's going to be really fun to watch, I think, to see where he stacks up against them.
Yeah, I mean, he's without question for me, and I imagine a lot of Steelers fans and, you know, people that cover the team, he's got to be in that top 5 if you're thinking, guys, I'm most excited to see tomorrow night. Which side of his game do you think he thrives better in just based on practices so far?
You know, I think he thrives in specifically the run game because I think he is a real dog kind of mentality. He's not scared. He's small, but he's not scared. He plays fearless. He takes on pulling guards and tackles just like it's nothing. I remember Mike Hilton doing that when he was here too. He's got that same mentality Mike Hilton had where he's fearless. Doesn't matter how big the guy is coming at him. And he'll even take pancakes, but if it allows that linebacker to swoop in free on the outside and make the play, who really cares? So he's a guy that has gotten his blitz timing down. You see the rundown stuff really coming about. The coverage has been a little bit more inconsistent. Again, he makes plays and he's competitive and he does get interceptions. So if you're going to be a hit or miss guy in coverage, you need to make plays, and he does. But I think the run part of his game, he's a great tackler. He runs through guys and he doesn't play small. He plays bigger than he is. So I think the run part of his game is kind of flashing more than the coverage part. But again, he's been impressive enough in coverage. He's been going against George Pickens and Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson before he got hurt, and he's done well.
Another rookie I'm excited to watch tomorrow night on that defense is Peyton Wilson. Any idea of how much he will play and just your general thoughts on him based on what you've seen at St. Vincent?
Well, I think he's going to play a lot, and I think the Steelers need him to play a lot. Now, I think week one, you're not going to see him start. I think that's obviously going to be Patrick Queen and Landon Roberts. But what I do think you're going to see him do is dime packages, maybe coming in some certain nickel packages, and be a real coverage specialist. I've been a little bit underwhelmed by his run defense, to be quite honest with you. Guys at the goal line, particularly in seven shots, have run through some of his tackles. I think he's still learning the physicality of the NFL between the tackles and just how much it is hard hitting. But the coverage reps, Donnie, have been really spectacular. And so have the blitzing reps. He's a great blitzer because he basically played off the edge at times at NC State. He's got a nice bag of moves. So when you put that in third down specific situations, passing situations, he can cover running backs out of the backfield. He can cover tight ends when you need him to. And he can come and blitz at the quarterback. That's a guy you want in your sub-package football and passing downs. And so that's where I think he's going to thrive. I want to see specifically how he does in run defense, though, against the Texans. I want to see, you know, how he keys things, how he's coming down shedding blocks, different things like that, and how he's handling the physicality of that. But I think he's a ready-made coverage defender from day one. So that's where I kind of view Peyton Wilson at right now. I still think he kind of needs a year of seasoning to be a three-down linebacker in terms of the run defense part of this. Kind of similar to Nick Herbig last year. Remember how Nick Herbig was this really polished pass rusher but had some run defense concerns? I think in Peyton Wilson's case, it's a little bit different than that because he's off the ball, of course, but similar in that he's a pass-down specialist to me.
Honestly, Nick, that excites me a little bit because I feel like the Steelers don't have much of an issue finding good run defender inside linebackers, and they have multiple on the roster that are either better run defenders or more well-rounded. So I'm happy that it seems like there has been an inside linebacker who is good in coverage, because Lord knows the amount of times we saw guys like Robert Spillane have to be the poor soul out there trying to cover one of the league's best receivers in the slot or something like that. So I'm happy with that answer. You tell me he's not great against the run, but he's good against the pass. I'm happy to hear that with Wilson, because I don't know. Do you? I feel like that would mesh pretty well with what that defense currently has there.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do it, right? Elandon Roberts is going to be your two-down thumper. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need anybody to do it. And Patrick Queen's also really good in run defense. So they have the guys necessary to thrive there. So Peyton Wilson kind of has this nice role where he can settle into the NFL speed, learn the NFL, and improve those weaknesses while playing as a dime back. And I think that's really where he's going to thrive this year. So, yeah, I agree. I think he's a different skill set that they don't have there, and I do think he's going to play extremely well in that role.
I was seeing the nuggets out there from today that DeMarvin Leal is going to move to outside linebacker. What went behind that switch, and do you think that was more something of, hey, let's see if he can do it here, maybe it saves his time on this team?
Well, I think at first he was, you know, doing a lot of inside stuff. So I think he's still a tweener type. I think he's going to switch down to three tech and can play all the way out to standing outside backer. That's how he's been used so far. They've had to use him at outside backer, Donnie, because they've just had so many injuries at outside linebacker in camp. Jeremiah Moon, Kyron Johnson, David Perales, Alex Highsmith, Marcus Golden have all been banged up, and TJ Watt gets the day off every 3 days. So they just haven't had outside linebacker depth, so they let Leal play out there. Man, he's 270 pounds. That's still pretty heavy for an outside linebacker. And you can see he doesn't have the bend that is like exceptional for that. And so I think he's going to play out there, but do I think he's going to be a full-time stand-up outside linebacker? I do not. I think he'll play in sub-packages. He'll be the seven with his hand in the dirt. I think when you go into base, he'll do a little bit of outside linebacker, but I also think he'll switch inside and be a five-tech, a four-eye, and a three-tech. This year, though, man, he's having a heck of a camp right now. I mean, he really is. His motor's extremely hot. You can see him running down, running backs every play. He's just beating guys ferociously right now in the interior of the line, too. He's so quick at 275. And so even if he doesn't have the sand in his pants necessarily anymore to be a great rundown guy, he's going to give you pass rush juice from the interior and as that outside depth linebacker. So I think part of that is to save it, but I think part of it is just to play how he was at Texas A&M because, Donnie, they have really flubbed him, I think, the first 2 years. First year, he's a full-time three-tech and is weighing like 315 pounds. Second year, he weighs like 295 and is trying to be this tweener type, but not really can fit in there. Now he's 275 like he was in college, playing it the way he's comfortable with, and you can see kind of the college DeMarvin Leal be back there. And so I think it's just where he's most comfortable.
How much do we see Justin Fields tomorrow night, and does he wow us more with the legs or the arm?
Well, I think you'll see him for, I think, about four series sounds about right to me. I do think we're going to see him run the ball. I think we're going to see read options, quarterback runs. I think you're going to be wowed more by the legs. And the only reason why I say that is just because you don't see guys like this. He's built like a linebacker, Donnie. I mean, you see him in person. He is built like a linebacker, and he's going to run through guys, and he has wiggle to break tackles. And so when your quarterback has this speed and this incredible elusiveness and contact balance, you're wowed by that. But you'll be wowed by his arm strength, too, if you have never seen it. But I do think the legs are going to really wow people. I don't remember a quarterback since Cordell Stewart that had this much ability on the ground.
Nick, on Monday night, my show is live from Dino's in Latrobe. There will be Icy Light Mangoes. There will be some of the best wings in Western Pennsylvania. Open invite to you to hop on with me there live. We can do a live rendition of this, Nick, if you so please.
I will be there, Donnie. I will be there, so we will do a live rendition of this.
All right, Nick, I will text you with a time. We will work that out. But as always, buddy, thanks for taking the time tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Donnie. Appreciate it as always.
There we go. Truly one of the best young Steelers minds on the beat at this current time. I really mean that. Nick Faribault does a great job with PennLive.com. And as always, our conversations always go. I feel like they fly by, Joel. I feel like it's a lot of the times when I have you, I end up booking Faribault on that same night. It just so happens to work out that way. The conversations just go very quickly. I look up and I'm like, I've been talking to this dude for 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's 7:30 and it just felt like it was 7:05 5 minutes ago.
412-928-9370. To join the conversation, that is also the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, we will dive into the Steelers depth chart a little bit. We will take a look at who is not playing tomorrow night, who I don't really want to see play tomorrow night, and who I am excited to watch play tomorrow night. That is all coming up next. Tim Neverett, former Pirates play-by-play man. He will join us in about an hour from now. Aaron Wilson in Houston will give us a preview of the Texan side of things at 9 o'clock. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football with you until 10:35 tonight. Nightly sports call comes your way after that. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. Great discussion there with Steelers reporter Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Nick giving his gut feeling that Brandon Ayuk will be a Pittsburgh Steeler when this is all said and done. He said it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be 2 weeks from now, but he thinks eventually, before we get into the regular season, the Steelers will have acquired Brandon Ayuk. Joel, is that how you feel about this? Do you have a good feeling that it will actually end up with Ayuk on the Steelers? Or, I mean, now you are normally a very glass half full type person, which I appreciate. You normally have very positive vibes around you. So I'm going to guess yes, but is there anything there that tells you, I don't think he will be a Steeler?
Yeah, Donnie, everything seems to be going in that direction that Brandon Ayuk, at some point, is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. New England has admitted that they are out. Ayuk doesn't want to join Cleveland. Things seem really rough between him and San Francisco. And I know they were in a similar situation with Deebo Samuel last year, and they got that worked out, and he's on a long-term deal with them. It just doesn't feel like that with Ayuk. And I mean, Pittsburgh is his preferred landing destination. And so it's just process of elimination. This team is not going to get him. That team's not going to. All signs point to Pittsburgh. And I don't know. I think he's too frustrated with San Francisco right now. And they haven't had extension talks for multiple months now. It's felt like for a while. So at the end of the day, it does seem inevitable. And as Nick Faribault pointed out, more of when and not if that Brandon Ayuk will be in the black and gold.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking like the deal is done or anything like that, and things are just being hammered out. Unfortunately, you know, Pony putting that out there yesterday got everybody pumped up, myself included. He was pumped up. I'm not kidding, Joel. He was texting back and forth with somebody. I'm assuming his source on this. I don't know who it is. People have asked me. I don't know who it is. He took a phone call for 10 to 15 minutes. He came out, and he was as excited as I've ever seen him when he came out there. Gave me a high five. That's how pumped he was. So I do believe he got information on this from somebody that he has probably had information from in the past that has worked out. And it just so happens that there was a holdup in the conversations and the negotiations, and that's why things have not come full circle yet. It's always funny to me when people are like, oh man, who's Pony's source? I don't know. People often don't give their sources. That's why you never really see them get named. And on top of that, one of the biggest stories in American history was centered around an unnamed source. The Richard Nixon resignation, when he had the whole Watergate scandal, it was centered around a guy who they used the nickname Deep Throat for. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that on air. Joel, you can drop me if you want to. But if you ever notice, people don't normally name their sources because it's somebody who can probably lose their job if they do get found out. So no, I do not know who Pony's source was on that. The Steelers released their first depth chart of 2024. And I joked about this with Nick a few minutes ago, and I know that Mike Tomlin always likes to make a point that, oh, I don't look at those things. You guys look into those for stories that you can create, yada, yada, yada. And I get that. There have been times in the past where he has, you know, maybe revealed a little bit more than he wanted to on one of these things. But one of the things I want to take away, and I also brought this up with Nick. Yes, Dan Moore Jr. is the starting left tackle on this piece of paper that I'm holding. Nate Herbig is the starting center on this piece of paper that I'm holding. This is just typical Steelers way of, we're going to make the rookies earn their stripes a little bit. Troy Faltanu has looked good by all accounts. We expect him to be the starting right tackle week one. He has looked good by all accounts. Broderick Jones has looked better at left tackle by all accounts. This is a way to let the rookie earn his way in. Same thing with Zach Frazier at center. Same thing there. Now, there is an oddity of it. Beanie Bishop, the starting nickelback in this defense, I legitimately don't know if it has happened in Steelers history where an undrafted rookie started on the Steelers defense. I don't think it's ever happened. That's going to be my guess. That as a rookie, an undrafted player started on the defense. I don't think it has. The closest thing I do think is Mike Hilton, but he was not an original Steelers undrafted free agent. There was a long time where rookies barely even broke into the Steelers defense at all. Go back about 20 years ago, 21 years ago. Troy Polamalu barely played as a rookie in 2003. People wondered, oh man, was this guy a bust? They traded up for him. A decade later, oh man, that guy was one of the best safeties in NFL history. And now today, he's already in the Hall of Fame. We have not seen, I mean, we've seen it more recently because it has been a growing thing with the times, but it was not common for a long time that a rookie would start on the Steelers defense. So big ups to Beanie Bishop. He is somebody I'm excited to watch. Once we get to tomorrow night, I will release that whole list in a couple of minutes. Who will not play tomorrow night? Russell Wilson, Isaac Seumalo. They are the only two offensive players that Mike Tomlin has said will not play. Maybe we see a couple of others by the time we get to kickoff. Who knows? Sometimes that happens. You know, something little they say comes up during warmups, whatever. The defense, the big guns are not going to play. T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, also Alex Highsmith, who shouldn't play anyway. He was dinged up, though, the other day in practice. Patrick Queen will not play either. To be honest, and I feel like I've done this for the last couple of years, I don't want to see Najee Harris play. I don't really want to see Jaylen Warren play much at all. And if they do, maybe just them going through the motions out there and not really touching the football. I'm not sure if I want to see George Pickens in this game. In fact, I know I don't want to see George Pickens in this game. Here's why. They have one good receiver. His name is George Pickens. If something happens to George Pickens, and we know that freak things can happen in the preseason, we have seen some of the Steelers' best players get hurt over the last couple of years. If something would happen to George Pickens, they now have zero good receivers. I'm not someone that takes issue when key players decide to sit out. And if the second tier of key players sit out preseason games, I'm not worried about it either. I'm not worried about the fan going to the game and not getting to see said key players. Maybe that sounds selfish of me, but I'm not. I understand the gripe when people travel to, let's say, an NBA game and load management is taking place and that produces lineups that leave some of the marquee names out. Maybe you go to see LeBron James play. Oh, load management, he's not playing. Maybe it's Steph Curry. Load management, not playing. Because that's a regular season game. You would think, oh, I'm going to get to see the stars play. I'm a Steelers season ticket holder. Have been for roughly a decade now. Hard to believe. I usually give my tickets away for nothing or at a very low price when it comes to the preseason because I know I'm aware of the product that will be put out onto that field. And I understand people are not going to want to pay top dollar for these tickets. If they do, I hate to say it, you're kind of the fool in that scenario. I don't need to see proven players in these games. It should be rookies. It should be completely unproven young guys. Absolutely. These guys won't just forget how to play football if it's somebody like T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Russell Wilson. One of my favorite examples, I know it's an elite player in the game. For my money, the game's best defensive player. I know I'm using T.J. Watt here as an example. The man did next to nothing team-related and certainly did not play in a single preseason game or a single preseason snap in 2021 awaiting a new contract. He signed at the midnight hour before week one. He proceeded to walk into that stadium in Buffalo and play one of the best games of his life, and then he won the Defensive Player of the Year award that season. Okay, this isn't high school kids that need to get back acclimated. High school kids that are worried about school and other things in their lives in their teenage years. Players at that level, yeah, they do need to get back into real football, into that groove. They need to hit each other. This is a time for rookies. It's a time for young, unproven guys and those down-the-liners. Guys who are borderline 53-man roster players. We've had Chris Hoke on this station a ton. Chris Hoke, a good example of that. He was somebody who, you know, at one point or another, I think he established himself as a pretty safe bet. But he also, being mostly a backup, albeit a good one, on a great defense, he has admitted that he, you know, always had to kind of look over his shoulder. He was always a little bit concerned once we got around to training camp that, you know, if he had a bad camp and a young guy had a good one, he could be the guy they flip out. Guys like that. And it will only get more that way when the league eventually goes to an 18-game regular season. Because the preseason will be cut down to two games. Plus, we watch what happens and we get too excited. I think last year was one of the all-time great examples of that. An all-time great example of that. But hey, if you're going to the game tomorrow, you will get to watch Justin Fields for a little bit. And that brings me to what I want to do next. The five guys I'm most excited to see tomorrow night. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.